You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the racing over the obstacles at Fosslass and Plumpton. We've also got an all-weather card to come on the Tapita from Wolverhampton. Racing gets underway from 12:20pm with us here on Racing Radio on Monday afternoon. It's Luke Elder, Sam Turner and Craig Forsyth will be in the studio bringing you all of the action on Monday. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the Racing Podcast is a very warm welcome to Will Smith. Hello, Will.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
Good, very good.
It's been an enjoyable weekend of racing as well, Will, both sides of the Irish Sea. We're recording this just after Sunday's racing, or after the bulk of Sunday's racing, and we've seen Duvan and Jacquardin both make their seasonal reappearances today. Probably learnt more about the latter than we did about Duvan. We'll start with Duvan, though. One slight mistake, but he proved once more he's got a great engine, a high cruising speed, and nothing can really go toe-to-toe with him. If you try to, then that'll pay to your chance of any prize money in the race.
Well, that's it, yeah. He was a little bit sketchy at a couple down the straight. He jumped a little bit right, which would be something of a slight worry. It'll be interesting to see where he pitches in next. Presumably Leopardstown over Christmas, you'd fancy. Mm. But I think that's probably just through maybe lack of fitness, and he was going, you know, he had no rivals anywhere near him, so he wasn't being asked to really lengthen and stride at the fences like he would do, say, at March come next year at the festival. So, look, he did what he had to do. His engine is mighty. I mean, his pace and his cruising speed is unbelievable. And like you say, no horse could stick with him. You know, there were a few sort of soft ground lovers in there in that race against him, decent enough horses 2 miles round there that, you know, they could have put a bit of a fight up to him. But, you know, he had them well beat from a very, very early stage. And again, it's just a case of us presuming that he is a superstar, which he clearly is. Obviously, where he goes next will tell us a bit more. But, I mean, to me, if he turns up in any kind of form in March for the champion chase, then he wins it.
Yeah, Paul Tannen was quoted after the race saying he was just a little bit gassy early on, which I suppose can be forgiven on his seasonal reappearance. 4-7 he is now for the Queen Mother Champion Chase. Should you fancy him for any other big targets? He's been installed at 7-1 in the Gold Cup market, 6-1 for the King George over Christmas. But as you said, I think Leopardstown would be the ideal route for him over Christmas.
Yeah.
Let's speak about Jacquardin as well. We saw him defend his John Durkin Memorial Chase crown. Was sent off a pretty short favourite, and Ruby did most of it from the front. He was given more of a challenge than Duvan was, but responded to the questioning by his rivals, and that trip probably shorter than ideal anyway.
Absolutely, and the ground probably a little bit better than what he is best on. I think 3 miles soft ground, and he's a hell of a good horse, as he's proved in a couple of Gold Cups. Maybe the ground went against him slightly last year in last year's Gold Cup, but he was still 4.5 lengths off Don Cossack, which is, you know, a hell of a good run. And if the ground has any amount of cut in it, you know, even if it's good to soft come March, then you can't knock him out of the frame. Even if, you know, Cue Card, Thistle Crack, Coney Gree, if they all turn up there, then he's just the kind of high-class stayer that just keeps pulling out that little bit more that will mix it with him. And to me, he is a knocking each way bet for the Gold Cup, really, because I just can't have him out of the frame. The only worry is, obviously, if you back him now each way, then he doesn't turn up, then you've done your cash. But I would imagine that along the way, the road to Cheltenham is pitted with blips every now and again for various other horses. And given the likes of you know, Coney Gree and a few others, that they're not the soundest. You know, Jacquardin could be shorter on the day if he turns up there. And he was good, wasn't he? I mean, 2.5 miles good ground is probably the most, certainly in the last probably 10, 11 starts of his career, it's been the most inadequate test for him. Every other race he's either had at 2.5 on real soft ground, like this renewal of the race last year where he won very, very impressively, or it's been over 3 miles on softish ground. So 2.5 miles good ground was against him. And he beat two Jigginstown horses who they were pretty much the ideal conditions for both of them, yes. Outlander and Sub Lieutenant. And you could tell the way Outlander was just going half a stride too quick, even though he was a 2.5 mile horse. That's a good sign for Jackadam, because he had got a high class 2.5 mile horse at it over 2.5 miles, whereas Jackadam is a 3 miler. So that's a good sign for him. And he appears to have come back in good form, and perhaps, dare I say it, maybe even improved slightly.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's fair to say. A pleasing reappearance then for both those horses. Jackadam in the Gold Cup betting at 10-1. Also 10-1 for the Ryanair as well for the festival come March. Let's look back at Saturday as well then, Will. We had some tremendous racing over at Cheltenham. We'll start with the feature race of the day, the International Hurdle, won for the third time by the new one for Nigel Twist and Davis, and a nice spare ride for champion jockey Richard Johnson. First of all, how much of a say can the new one realistically have in the two-mile hurdling division this season, given that there are so many top horses from, I say, from across the IRC? Most of them are from 1 yard, but there are so much good horses in that two-mile hurdling division. Can the new one have a real say in it this season?
No, I don't think he can, and that's with all due respect to the horse himself and connections. I think they'd probably say that themselves.
Yes.
They obviously did really well identifying the opportunity to win, you know, a Grade 2 race where there was almost 75 grand to the winner. He was going to race, I think, at Exeter earlier on in the week for probably about 3 or 4 grand in a beginner's chase.
Yes.
And when that was called off, they thought, 3 grand, 75 grand, let's, you know, we've got a high-class horse here. He was giving £8 to My Tent or Yours. So it was not a bad performance. I mean, what level My Tent or Yours has run to, we're not quite sure, and probably his next couple of starts will tell us. But, you know, he's beaten a very, very good horse pretty easily, giving him £8. So, to me, that's not a bad performance. But, you know, there'll be however many other better horses that turn up in the two-mile scene come March. Quite what we get coming over from Willie Mullins' stable for the Champion Hurdle, we won't know until 2 days before the day in March, which is no disrespect to Willie Mullins, because he clearly has that many good horses that he'll, you know, he'll campaign them and then see which one is absolutely ready and ready for the, you know, the Champion Hurdle come then, whether it be Forheen, whether it be Annie Power, whether it be Vroom Vroom Mag maybe even, or, you know, who else it may be. So, like, I don't think the new one will win a Champion Hurdle, sadly, but, you know, he won a very, very valuable and good race on Saturday.
Do you think Connections will abandon the idea to go chasing with him and continue him over hurdles, or do you think him going over fences is still going to be the ultimate aim for them?
I think it'll be the ultimate aim. I don't think they'll do it now this season, because too much of the season has gone sort of novice chase-wise, so you're affording the ability to maybe give him enough experience to get him ready for the high-class races. So I think they'll continue hurdles-wise. They'll fancy maybe the Aintree hurdle is perhaps more of a significant assignment for him, 2.5 miles at Aintree that he's won before. That might be a better race for him than the Champion Hurdle. So they'll probably go that way. And then next year, I'm sure they'll revisit chasing again.
Okay. Elsewhere then on Saturday, there was another couple of good performances from novice hurdlers and juvenile hurdlers. Obviously, Cliffs of Dover winning again over at Doncaster. That's a Grade 2 win in a hurdle for him, a horse who was rated in the mid-60s on the flat. Just keeps surprising everyone, really. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody really expects him to make this sort of progression over hurdles, particularly with the breeding as well.
Yeah.
I don't think the sire would have too many winners of Grade 2 hurdles.
I don't think he'll have a winner of a hurdle again, probably. I mean, obviously, the dam side, the dam is by Galileo,
yes.
So that clearly is a high-class line. It's just obviously being by Canford Cliffs. I'm not entirely sure, but whether Canford Cliffs has ever had a runner over jumps, let alone a winner. No, Cliffs of Dover has been an incredible success story for Paul Nicholls, and you can tell the way he goes through his races. He just loves it, absolutely loves it.
Yeah,
loves running, loves jumping, and just loves life. And that will get you a long way in a lot of spheres, but on a race course, it's pretty important. So, I mean, he beat, sort of strictly on form lines, he beat two Joseph O'Brien horses who had, they'd sort of mixed it in decent races over in Ireland, similar juvenile hurdles. And actually, the way Cliffs of Dover won it, Paul Nicholls before the race had said he'd given him a break, actually, after he'd won at Wetherby back in the late October when he won the Wensleydale there. And so he was worried that he actually might well need the run on this occasion. And the way he was ridden by Harry Cobden, he was really given a bold sight on the front end and said, really, come and catch me if you can. So he was given every chance to fold in the way he was ridden and if he did need the run. But, you know, while he was a little bit weary at the finish, it looked like he was just pulling out a bit more because he wanted to. So I think there's a bit more to come again, which is a pretty scary prospect, really. And I genuinely think he's a Triumph Hurdle candidate. I really do. There'll be one or two more sexier profile horses that come out. But his will for the game and his will to please the jockey and run as fast as he can and jump hurdles quickly is, you know, going to stand him in great stead.
Yeah, absolutely. Just answers every question that he's been asked so far. Anything else really caught the eye from Cheltenham or Doncaster or indeed anywhere else on Saturday, Will?
Cheltenham, while we're on the Triumph Hurdle scene, Defi de Soy, I thought, was impressive in winning the Triumph Hurdle trial. Quite what he beat again is up to question. Coeur de Lion had won a decent race at Wetherby, actually, so and he beat him pretty easily, readily and cosily. I think Barry Geraghty had plenty more left. The crucial point in that race was two out, where Dom Perignon de Lee blundered, because I think he was the horse that was going to give us a real line into where Defi de Soy sort of stood in the Triumph Hurdle scene. But when he blundered two out and his challenge was put paid to, then it became a little bit more simple for Defi de Soy. But perhaps that was because Defi de Soy was going, you know, well within himself at a pace that was half a stride too quick for Dom Perignon de Lee. But that'll, you know, play out in the coming months. But I think of the two JP McManus owned horses at the head of the market in the Triumph, Land of Hope and Glory and Defi de Soy, I'd far rather back Defi de Soy of those two.
I suppose a lot of people have sort of already decided that Joseph O'Brien's going to train the winner of that race, and whatever his top string is, then that'll be the winner.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's probably got another 10 or so to come out, given the number of horses that were transferred to him from his father's yard, obviously, and bought by JP McManus or transferred to JP McManus, whatever it was. And there are a few that are higher rated than Land of Hope and Glory. And you fancy that Joseph O'Brien wouldn't have campaigned Land of Hope and Glory so extensively if he didn't have one or two slightly better to come out for better targets around Christmas and in the new year, because there are some very valuable and grade one races to come. You fancy there might be one or two that pop up for those targets. So that's the reason that I would far rather Defi de Soy to Land of Hope and Glory at this stage, because I think that Joseph might have one or two slightly better.
Yeah, fair enough, and that's probably correct to say. We'll move on then to take a look at some of Monday's races. We've got two from Plumpton and two from Foss Last picked out for Monday afternoon. We begin at Plumpton with a novices hurdle then. This is the 130, 2.5 miles, the trip. Nine runners lining up for it. And speaking of JP juveniles, I think the no comment at the head of affairs for Philip Hobbs, Barrett Geraghty and JP McManus will be a likely warm order here, Will.
Yeah, he will. He wears the first-time hood because he's been quite keen on both his hurdle starts. He was sent off a really, really well-backed favourite at Chepstow on hurdle debut for the Grade 2 Persian War Novices Hurdle. Now, any horse that makes its debut in a Grade 2 over hurdles clearly is thought about quite highly. So he unseated Ryder quite early on that occasion. He then went to Aintree for 2.5 a couple of weeks later. Again, sent off a warm order, even money favourite. He was beaten by, I think, what will turn out to be a very, very good horse in time, Robin Rowe, for Dan Skelton. I think that one's going to take much higher order. So that was no disgrace whatsoever. And then he went and won at Market Raisin over a slightly lesser trip and did it in workmanlike fashion, you'd suggest. And I think he's a horse that we haven't seen the bottom of by any stretch. And once he settles a bit better and once he hurdles with a bit more fluency, then we may well do that. But it might not be until we see him in handicaps that fully comes about. But clearly, he's got a leading chance tomorrow.
Okay, the selection for you then?
Well, it's between him and Stowaway Magic. Obviously, Nicky Henderson's horse won at Warwick, beat a decent horse of Paul Nichols, the Outlaw, on that occasion. I'm just going to side with the race fitness of No Comment, given that he's had a couple of runs recently and they're going for the first time hood. Stowaway Magic is reappearing off 219 days off. I think it's a match between the two. I'm just going to side with the race fitness of No Comment for Philip Hobbs, JP McManus and Barry Geraghty.
Okay, No Comment then is the selection for Will in that 130 at Plumpton. We stay at Plumpton then for their 2 o'clock. We're over fences this time. This is a handicap chase over 3 miles and a furlong. Just a field of six line up to contest this, but you can certainly give chances to three or four of the runners at least, Will.
Yeah, you can. Probably the top three in the card are the three to concentrate on, and two of them are actually trained by Gary Moore. Ridden by Jamie and Joshua, his two sons. They're not quite Saïd Agrouhi and Ahmad, who both the sons rode for the trainer in the Tingle Creek, of course. But they both seem to have decent chances. Golanova is in decent form and has seemed to have improved once stepped up to 3 miles. He ran a good race at Kempton on his penultimate run and then unseated rider in the Southern National. He was still going okay on that occasion, and he's a pretty strong stayer. I'd probably just prefer him of the Gary Moore pair. To the Moon and Back is having his second start off the back of a long layoff, and he didn't show a huge amount first time out here over shorter. But the one that I think they're all going to chase home is Sartorial Elegance for Colin Tizard, who can do absolutely no wrong at present. I think he's crying out for a step up to this kind of trip. He's never gone over this far so far. He's pretty stoutly bred, and he ran a good race behind Moore Bucks at Fontwell last time out, and just looked as if he was crying out for a step up in trip. And I can see him going off a very well-backed favourite and a likely winner.
Sartorial Elegance then is the choice for Will in the 2 o'clock at Plumpton. We head over to Wales now for another couple of races from Foss Last. We begin with their 220, a handicap hurdle here. Just shy of 2 miles is the trip facing the 9 runners that have lined up to contest it. Anything leap off the page here, Will?
There was one or two. It's quite an interesting race, actually. At the top, you've got a couple of horses that are interesting, probably for targets down the line. Oscar Tia for Neil Mulholland. It's his second start for Neil Mulholland. He had one quick start, having inherited the horses back in early February, and he was second to Tegrita at Wincanton over 2.5 miles on softish ground. I think most of his better form had been around 2 miles for Peter Bowen. Interesting that he appears back over at 2 miles on his seasonal debut for Neil Mulholland. He's had him the summer, and he's probably worked him out a little bit, so he's definitely interesting for me. The ground will play a large part in this. If it's soft enough, then Oscar Tia I can see going very, very well. Prussian Eagle is an interesting one for Evan Williams. He was a horse that was with Charles O'Brien and over in Ireland, and he bought him at the sales. Whether Evan can eke out a little bit more remains to be seen. The one that I think there is going to make them all go, literally, is make the difference for Tim Vaughan, who ran a really notable race in the Jerry Fielden when a pretty much unfancied 33-1 shot. Charlie Deutsch on that occasion took the bull by the horns and sent him on in a much better class race than what he appears in today. And he had them all at it, actually, probably two out. You still felt that he might well have, you know, a winning margin. But Who Dares Wins proved himself to be quite a nicely handicapped animal in the end, and Make the Difference was just done out of second spot by his stablemate Thalini. But I certainly think that he can, if he employs a similar kind of tactics and is just allowed to sort of get a breather in at some stage, then Make the Difference can run really, really well off this kind of mark. It's interesting that he's on the same mark. Alan Johns takes over from Charlie Deutsch, but I don't see that as a negative, because Alan Johns will have ridden a lot at home, so Make the Difference in the 220.
Make the Difference then, the choice for Tim Vaughan in that 220 race for Will. The final race on today's podcast then is the 320 at Foss Last. This is a handicap chase, 3 miles and a furlong here, 11 runners lining up for it. What did you fancy in this one?
Yeah, there's one or two that could potentially be quite nicely handicapped. Towards the top of the weights, Moreland's Miss for Evan Williams could be quite nicely handicapped, but I don't think he's as good a chaser as what he is a hurdler. Finish the Story at some stage will pop up again. He ran okay in the Southern National behind Ariel. I think another couple of runs and stepped up in trip even further to maybe 3.5. All those 4 mile races for Finish the Story will see him win again. It's the two numbers 4 and 5 on the race card, Hollow Blue Sky and Walk on Owl, that I think could be the answers. Hollow Blue Sky is incredibly well handicapped for Nigel Twiston Davies on a mark of 107. He's won off a mark of 114 in the past, and he's been competitive off marks in the 120s. He reappeared here behind Globalisation in a course and distance race and ran well back in November. I think the softer ground on this occasion will suit him. But the one I'm going to side with is Walk on Owl on his second start for Fergal O'Brien. Interestingly, that he was quite well backed on his debut for Fergal O'Brien at Chepstow back in November, where the race was really stolen, I think, by Akimota, Graham McPherson and Keelan Woods ridden Akimota, who made all on that occasion and never saw another rival. Walk on Owl was the best of the rest, and I think he'll improve on that run, definitely. And I think he's quite nicely handicapped to win his second race. He won a novice hurdle back in 2013 for for Dan Skelton, and I think he can win his second race for Fergal O'Brien, who's having a good time of things.
War Canal then, the selection for Will Fergal O'Brien and Conor Schumacher teaming up with that one. There you are then, the thoughts of Will Smith ahead of Monday's racing. And remember, you can hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. with Luke Elder, Sam Turner and Craig Forsyth in the studio for Fosslast, Plumpton and Wolverhampton. Thank you very much for that, Will. Best of luck and enjoy the racing over the next coming week.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.